everybody. This is Harry Carey, and you're listening to UCB Sports and Lasers. Lozenges. Leisure. Why is it leisure? It's leisure.
Since the dawn of time, man has competed and relaxed. But with that comes responsibility. We go behind the pageantry and ceremony to examine these modern warriors and relaxers to bring you the real story.
From East Hollywood, the investigative capital of the world, this is UCB Sports and Leisure.
Baseball, America's pastime, America's obsession. It isn't just nine guys standing around, but rather a reflection of our nation's ever-changing history. The caretakers of that history are the authors and entrepreneurs who devote endless hours to bringing baseball's dark history to light. We recently spent an afternoon with self-published author Skip Ontiveros in his hometown of Baltimore, Maryland. We talked about his baseball biopic, Not All Uniforms Are Uniform, as he led us on a Segway tour to the Old City, to the museum he now owns, the birthplace of the legendary Sultan of SWAT.
My real name was George Herman Root. Babe was just a name I got from the orphanage. That place was essentially where my home. You know, learned to play baseball there. Where I found my love of trains. Where I found my love of hot dogs. And where I found my love of beer.
Okay, you guys ready?
Yeah.
And just move your body forward. And here we go.
I'm thinking to go forward. You said just think it and it'll do it, but I'm just staying still.
You kind of have to think it and
lean
put
forward
it in
a little
place.
Bit. Whoa.
There you go. Yeah, there you go.
Sorry, Matt.
So the guys are doing great. The one thing I noticed is it had a belt buckle that was like Western. So they had polo shorts with a Western belt buckle for the Brooklyn, what were they, the Dodgers. I found that one very interesting.
You're talking about the capri pant, the white capri
pant.
Oh,
is that a capri pant?
Yeah.
Oh, I called that polo shorts.
Yeah, and the Brooklyn Dodgers had these in the 1939 season. They were white polo shorts.
I'm going to pass you the book, Scott. I can show you the football.
Okay, hold on. Well, back up. Back up.
Rhinestone.
All right,
piping.
A little forward.
Yeah, that was crazy. And that was worn for 2 days? Was it like a – you got it?
Yeah.
Was it like an injury thing? Did someone
– Well, no. There was a guy named Lefty Gazelle. Remember Lefty Gazelle?
Lefty Gazelle.
Is he in the book?
Did he run with Ty Cobb?
He was with Ty Cobb. That's a very good memory. Yeah, he roomed with Ty Cobb, and he wore this uniform home. He took the train home, and someone thought the stones were worth something. Just took all the stones off the uniform, and he was beaten savagely.
Oh, God.
That season, he won 20 games. He had an ERA of 2.85. The next season he played, he went 1-50 and had an ERA of 14.96.
It's not easy to get 50 losses. That's a lot of pitching.
Yeah. That means that he went in sometimes as a short reliever and just blew it.
Right.
And they say a lot of that was from the beating that he took because he was wearing this expensive Brooklyn Dodgers uniform from 1939.
They whipped him with that belt buckle, didn't they?
Yeah, but the accounts vary on what they did to him.
Well, your account right here says he was whipped with the belt buckle. I'm looking at the book.
Right. Okay. Well, no, there was other things, too. They stretched out his neck.
Says here he's tied up.
Stretched out his neck about a foot and a half, almost like a cartoon. And then they had cats peeing in his mouth.
They tied his arms up.
They tied his arms up, and he went to the hospital, and they said that he would be paralyzed for a few weeks at least. And
so that's a pretty heroic story.
He battled back.
Spit the pee out of his mouth and then got his motion back. That's great.
God, that is brutal.
Who would have thought like there's that much background with a uniform? That's why this book is fascinating to me.
It's all these missing pages of history.
The book again is Uniforms Are Not All Uniform.
Yeah, uniforms are not all uniform.
Right.
The gentleman who basically ruined his life by whipping him with a metal belt buckle, did they get prosecuted? Were they?
No, he ended up, he was a nephew of Mayor LaGuardia. The whole city was so freaked out by it that eventually the team had to move. It's not like they were.
And that's why the Dodgers came to L.A.?
Yeah.
Wow.
And LaGuardia, I believe, is a very, or was.
Wait, slow down. Oh, this is Cromwell over here? Cromwell and Forth?
Oh, wow.
And this is where Edgar Allan Poe.
Why oh, that's right.
Why are stopping?
Edgar Allan Poe, I guess, went to
wait,
the
what are you guys talking
shopping.
About?
We're on yeah, our segues here, right?
This is yeah. Poe Town. Yeah, this is, oh, that's really cool.
Yeah, Edgar Allan Poe dropped, like, eggs over here. They
oh, they reserve where he dropped, they made it a historical mm-hmm. landmark or something?
Yeah, there's a statue of an orangutan with a shaver's blade. And that's where he dropped eggs, I guess.
Does the, let's go see it, do you mind?
No, let's go.
Look at this.
Lean forward,
Scott,
guys.
Did you know, oh.
It can go over the curb, too.
I thought we were going to talk sports, but this is, I love literature.
I would be
worried
if, that's the thing is, if you're a great writer and a great poet, you have to make sure you're not clumsy, because people will start putting statues up where you make mistakes. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, he drops some eggs, like, everyone does that once in a while, but no one usually, like, sort of makes that a legendary thing that you did. It's like, it's clumsy.
Yeah, every time Pablo Picasso dropped something, people would make him, like, paint the painting where it fell.
Oh, so, just so you know that was his...
Yeah. So if you go to Madrid, they're all over. Frescoes are all over from just how clumsy he was.
Just like if he spilled his lemonade or...
What's the significance,
anything.
Though, of an orangutan holding a razor blade? Like, how does that relate to Poe? Like,
from Murders in the Rue Morgue.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That was one of the...
I don't want to give it away. Spoiler alert.
Okay.
But an orangutan with a with a barber's razor.
Well, that's cool.
I never read it. What happens?
That over there is the Italian American Sports Museum, right by Camden, way over there, isn't it?
Ooh.
Yeah, I don't like that over there.
You don't like Italians?
I do like Italians. I just
there. Scott, why do you go there? Well, fuck!
Be careful, guys!
Oh,
be careful!
Matt, lean forward. Lean forward. Lean back. Lean to this.
Oh, I think I chipped a tooth. Fuck!
Oh, dude, you're sitting all over the wire from it.
Fuck.
You're sitting all over the...
If you get famous, maybe we'll erect a statue where you wipe down in your Segway.
Yeah.
God damn, can we sit down for a second?
Yeah, let's sit down. Let's get off of them. There's a perfect place to stop, actually.
Oh, fuck.
Is your tooth okay?
No, you tell... Oh, man, I'm missing my tooth. I feel it.
Here it is.
Oh, give me that.
Here.
Ow. Oh, god damn it.
Do you want me to put it back in your...
You should eat it. That's
god
how it works.
It,
if you eat your tooth, they'll grow a new one.
Tastes like metal.
That
in
doesn't
mouth.
Sound right.
You know that blood metal taste?
I got
that blood metal taste.
Iron.
In my mouth.
That's what iron is, yeah. Iron
is
in the
it?
Blood.
You showed a uniform where the Houston Astros owners had a branded evening where they took money from a corporation and the players wore Bin Laden oil logos.
Yeah, they did.
I don't remember that. I was alive in 79. I guess it wouldn't have been a big deal back then.
Well, you weren't paying attention to like oil logos. You just. Whatever
True.
Made your car move.
No one was at the time.
Yeah.
Back then in the 70s, we all loved our big cars, and we liked to fill them up and just drive them down the boulevards.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time, you know, many of the oil companies had great contacts. We're very good friends with Bin Laden.
Mm-hmm.
And they say it was the Astros uniform that really drove Bin Laden over the edge.
So this is sort of like the seeds that started to grow into what happened in 9/11.
I mean, yeah. I mean, I hate to make this book sound this important, but the seeds of 9/11 are here.
Right.
In the pages of my book. And it all starts with the Bin Laden family being disappointed in the Houston Astros logo.
And also, probably, they had one of the worst records in the league. I'm sure that made them angry, too, like how much they were.
Well, for a while, the owners of the Astros were trying. They made new rules for the game so that the family would think that the team was good. So... they thought that the object of the game was to give up as much runs as you can. And so they were trying to get the Bin Laden family to invest also in the Astros.
Mm-hmm.
And they went to this game with this uniform that you're
describing. There was a lot of Saudi Arabian money coming into America around that time. They mm-hmm. bought a lot of wheat farms, and they were really investing heavily in America.
Mm-hmm.
And then they had Astri, which was a three-hump camel.
That
was the logo?
No, that was the mascot for this year.
Oh, here's a picture of him right here.
Oh, my God.
See, that's the thing about this book. It's got great visual aids to help you, to take you through the different history and the stories.
So the front had Bin Laden Oil Company with the Astros logo. The back had a three-hump camel. And on the back of the third hump, there was strapped about 100 pounds of dynamite. And that was on the back of the jersey and also on the leg of the pant.
I never noticed it. I thought those were candles. Those
yeah,
are
I thought
that, dynamite.
I thought they were like food or supplies or something.
Yeah, we all thought it was hot dogs because baseball. We're like, oh, cool, the camels bring in hot dogs. And then they would play, oh, when the camels come marching. And it was like, oh, cool, that's cool that camels are bringing hot dogs to the dry stadium that doesn't mm-hmm. have hot dogs. Mm-hmm. But little did they know that it was actually Bin Laden's personal camel that he used to, for suicide attacks.
So
he was not him, but...
Multiple.
So in 79, a young Bin Laden was already executing real simple terrorist attacks?
Mostly in Saudi Arabia, yes. It hadn't hit the U.S. yet. And that's what's fascinating about really like how fun all these uniforms are, is that there's real stories behind these things. And
I wonder what the significance of a three-hump camel is. Is that good luck?
I think it's like just more, it's just sort of like be prepared with it for extra water and being out in the desert a little longer. Yeah. Is that right?
And if you're married too, you can face each other, each get in between two humps and you can make out.
You got to be married to do that?
It's a ceremonial thing.
Got it.
There was a brief reference in one of your chapters where you referenced that
my dick is pretty thick, yes.
That's in the chapter about
the
White Sox.
Was that when you were going to bring it up? That when you bring it up?
No, I would actually say that was something I was not going to bring up. We talked about not bringing that up because it is irrelevant to the subject matter.
Yeah, I thought it wasn't. It was, you have a lot of that in your book, but it doesn't really have that much to do with the uniforms to me. I mean, almost every chapter mentions it.
The human body has a lot to do with the uniforms, as you're going to find out reading the book.
Uh-huh.
When someone has a penis shaped like two cans of cat food stacked on top of each other, it shows in the uniform.
Mm-hmm.
And so oftentimes in the jock strap, certain jock straps have to be made to, so that kids don't freak out when they're watching the game.
I'm going to change the subject.
Oh, please, yeah. That's just my life we're talking about. But the book is about baseball uniforms specifically.
There was the Boston Braves, I believe, in 1950, you have a picture of like a prototype G-string. Is that a G-string or a thong they're wearing?
Yeah, they didn't call it a G-string at the time.
I don't know. Is this women's or men's? Did men in the 50s wear thongs in America?
Yeah. They didn't call it thongs.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
They called them bikinis.
So like Robert Young and Jackie Gleason, like those guys that were famous, they were walking around wearing thongs?
Like no, all of our TV heroes? Only for baseball.
Oh, okay.
Now, I'm sure if those guys were playing baseball, they would probably use these.
Oh, I thought it was like a fashion thing that men actually went through. Like,
and look at the texture on these. These are real. These are well-made bikinis, it looks like, in these pictures.
Some have chenille lining.
Uh-huh.
Well, for where the team name goes, 100% wool. This is before synthetics.
They would embroider the name of the team on the inside of the thong.
So I'm like allergic to wool. I wouldn't want to wear like a wool bikini to play baseball in the summer. That would just be.
I think it was just a bikini bottom. It was a thong.
Well, that's what I'm complaining about. I'm not worried about the top.
Yeah, the top was just like a regular jersey top. But the thong itself, which they called a bikini rope.
And then knee highs.
Was it sold in like the stands at the stadium? Like the kids could buy their dad a Father's Day thong at the stadium?
They're really trying to push this, and they had a couple days where you can come in, and the first 20,000 fans were given these rope bikinis. And, I mean, children, young girls, women, everyone, they were wearing these things, and it really just caused a big uproar there. Because, sexuality was very, very toned down back then. So you can imagine just these butt cheeks just all exposed everywhere.
And they played and slid into bases wearing that, or their pants were over that?
No, they slid.
Because that would be like that's what you call a raspberry.
That was it.
Yeah. And everybody was trying to get a raspberry. The redder your cheeks were at the end of the game, I mean, the harder you played.
You get more high fives, I bet.
More high fives. The coach puts you in for sure next game. You become a fan favorite.
Well, no wonder they only tried this twice. That would be like, you would get like, almost third-degree burns, really. You're tearing off flesh every time you slide.
Yeah, infections, depending on the field. You get pebbles embedded in your skin. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, the players complain. But, yeah, because it's easier to sit in a stand with your butt cheeks exposed instead of playing a baseball game.
I don't Would you ever pay like to watch that game? Would that make you more interested to watch a baseball game?
You know what? People are so uptight. I love the experimental nature of some of these uniforms. I think it's cool to like challenge society and challenge the sport and experiment in the way and what people wear on the field.
Yeah, and a lot of these things were done as gimmicks to get people in the stands.
Right. No, absolutely. I mean,
and I think that's how that one started. Was just like, ooh, we're going to see people naked.
Now, what's this one where all the fruits and vegetables are stapled onto the cloth? This looks like
read
this,
it, Scott. It's
oh,
in
it
the
says
book.
Oh,
read
the Florida it.
Florida Marlins.
Florida Marlins from the '20s, I guess.
The first Marlins.
Yeah. Wore fruit and vegetables all over them. Okay. And looks like.
Well, the first Marlins, you're talking about the '20s Marlins. They played from 1914 to 1928,
mm-hmm.
and they were owned by...
Hemingway owned them, you said here.
Hemingway was part owner.
Part owner.
And also a Cuban industrialist.
Wow.
Diego,
I didn't know that. That's
Diego Marquez.
Fascinating. I bet they were... Well, I think they probably were great.
Diego Marquez was dating Carmen Miranda. And, you know, at the time... I don't want to get dirty, but at the time, they, you know... Her vagina was something that everybody
Carmen's?
Was. Carmen's? Everybody,
she was a hot number,
everybody talked about how beautiful it was and how great it was. So,
just her vagina or her whole person?
Just her vagina.
Oh, okay.
She was a great singer and actor, too, but really the vagina was the thing that really drove guys crazy.
Okay.
And so the owner, Diego Marquez, he was like, can I have some pussy? And she's like, no way. And he's like, can I please have some pussy? And she's like, no. And he's like, what if I put my team, I dress them like you, I staple fake produce and fruits on their uniform.
Oh, my God, to get in her pants?
Yes.
Those are weird moves just to keep saying I want pussy. It's like, oh, that's.
And you're actually quoting him.
Yeah, he's not. Well, he wasn't a ladies' man. He just had a lot of money. And that's how people with money, you know, that's how they flirt. You know, they don't do any, they're not subtle like you and I.
Mm-hmm. You corroborate this with eyewitnesses in the book. That's a crazy story. I've heard stories like Leo DeRocher went to the mound with an umbrella and the ump threw him out, but I didn't know a lot of this history is like crazy.
And look at these, Matt, these pictures. It's like he's not even wearing a baseball hat. He's just wearing a mound of fruit on his head.
Yeah. All right, I'm good if you want to keep going towards Babe Ruth's house. But that's like a train.
My GPS says, like, as the crow flies, you might want to go northeast. But
oh, yeah.
There's tracks.
Scott's got a GPS. I don't know if you need one.
No, I'm good. I'll follow Scott.
Okay.
Scott.
Well,
don't go through the train yard.
I'm just saying it's right. A lot faster if we go through the train yards. I'm sure we just hop a little.
All right.
Well, you're going to have to carry your Segway just because it's a little. Looks like the rails are perpendicular.
It's like canoeing in upper waters, Canada. We got to get out in Portage. All right,
we're
going
to have to
this.
Take the train car. Right?
What?
Oh, yeah. All right, push this down.
Whose is this?
And I'll lift it up.
Teeter totter. My teeter totter
train car.
Yeah, yeah.
Who's this?
Turn the safety off.
Off. Let's go.
Oh, this is
isn't it? It's almost better, isn't it? I hate to say that.
All right, take it easy, Matt. Matt loves these levers.
No, I've never been on a hand pump train car. I've only seen it in cartoons.
Quit moving up and down like that so fast. Looks weird.
You can
relax.
I can't help it. I really enjoy this thing. I might be lightheaded from the concussion. Why are we balancing, though, on top of a moving train car on our Segways? Shouldn't we?
Well, we want to take the Segways, right? You don't want to leave them back there.
I set mine down. I think you guys are crazy to be sitting on yours.
I'm doing the challenge. I'm with Skip here.
Oh, here's Buckley Avenue. And right here is, we're getting close to.
It's a little weird how he just steers with his wide penis, you know what I mean?
And there it is. There's Babe Ruth's. There's the housing tenement Babe Ruth lived in.
Babe's home is a modest red brick Georgian row house surrounded by dilapidated housing. The only signs of ceremony adorning this landmark are some weathered red, white, and blue buntings and a tiny plexiglass plaque at the entrance.
Wow. Oh, my God. Hi, I'm Matt Walsh. I'm at UCB.
I'm Scott Armstrong. Nice to meet you.
Dean Kamen Jr.
Hi.
This is Dean Kamen Jr.
Okay.
The son of Dean Kamen, the inventor of the machines we've been riding all day, the Segway.
Oh my gosh, you look like
him. Oh wow, yeah, it's true. You do look like him.
Thank you.
It's an honor to meet you. Yeah. Your father's very inspiring. He was very good with education too. He made sure to give back.
Really skinny legs.
He was.
Like it's almost like he never walks.
Scotty can hear you.
He wasn't very good with money though.
He wasn't.
No.
His patents went off or he never locked them up.
He didn't know what the hell he was doing. That's why I'm here.
Oh, living here.
And you're also here because your father drove a Segway off a mountain and passed away.
That's why I've ended up in Baltimore instead of the house in California, because he didn't have that properly secured.
Oh, okay. His estate wasn't planned.
Well, it's a good note to everyone out there. Make sure your will's in order.
That's a very good point.
Mm-hmm.
Dean came in
senior. Oh, look, here's Babe Ruth's will on the wall.
Let me get into, my voice when I do tours. Welcome to the Babe Ruth Museum. In here, you'll find many wonders, including Babe Ruth's birth bed.
Ooh. Look how low to the ground they used to be, Matt.
Also an old Coca-Cola bottle.
His mom must have been little. That's a small bed. His mother must have been little. Mm. Or is that when he slept when he was an infant?
Or did he, curl up in a ball?
Yeah, that's more like the bassinet there.
Oh.
Sorry. I thought that's the
bed. We kind of overreacted to the little baby bed.
Yeah, it's just a baby bed.
Where he was actually birthed in it.
Oh, and this is a normal bed over here, Matt. Look.
That's mine.
That's Dean Cain. That's Dean Carman Jr.'s.
Oh, okay. And then which one is Babe Ruth then? He grew up, obviously. Then where did he sleep is my point.
That's that futon over there.
Oh, the futon. Oh,
there's a whole room back here. Oh, it's just filled with vinyl. Are you a vinyl guy?
That's all my father left me. His vinyl collection. That's the only thing. His will, it's like he wrote, and then he sort of dot, 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 and then didn't fill in the rest of the will. And all he said was, my record collection goes to my son.
Dean Cain Jr.
Uh-huh. That makes sense. I mean, that's what most wills are, like leave your records to your kids,
You've been
right?
helping him out. Did you help get him the gig here so he could crash here quasi-legally?
Yeah, he was – do you mind if I talk about this?
Oh, go ahead.
Well, you did bring up his father dying off a cliff right away, so I don't feel
– just to fill you guys into his history and where he's at now and why he's in where he's at and why he's doing the things he's doing and why he's hurting himself the way he is and why he's a piece of garbage of a human being at the moment. But we're hoping that he's on the right track.
You can't start going up until you hit bottom, right? You got to change direction.
That's
somewhere.
What I always say.
Yeah.
When I do these things, and he's a good buddy of mine. But you know what? At the end of the day, I don't want to turn my back and see my double cheeseburger stolen because I'm friends with an addict.
Mm-hmm.
I don't mean to talk harshly, but we've had this discussion before.
But you could never bring a double cheeseburger into the Babe Ruth.
Yeah, this is the Babe Ruth Museum. You can't bring food in here. No,
it's
a sign
it's
right
here. It's got to be quadruple.
Minimum. It's got to be quadruple burger.
See, that's not true.
We actually make food here. All of Babe Ruth's favorite items. So you can't bring food from the outside.
Oh,
there's
you sell?
There's a little kitchen here?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, look at that.
We have
the fourth inning hot dog. He was notorious for running across the street and have a hot dog and a beer.
And here's beers.
And you do have to run across the street to a building about a block down. And that's where we have the cafeteria.
And then sometimes people bring it back?
They can bring it back in. Yeah.
Wow, this is a fun museum.
That's not really what
a
kitchen is, that you leave and come back.
And you could only order hot dogs by 24, because that's the only way he ate them.
Mm-hmm.
He would eat 24 hot dogs at a sitting.
So you
have to order it. That's a number one. 24 hot dogs, a large Diet Pepsi, and fries.
What's the home run?
Diet Pepsi existed back then?
No, that's just what we did now.
Oh, okay. Make more money that way,
we bought a bunch of Diet Pepsi. We got a good deal on Diet Pepsi.
Right. And then here we go, hand-roasted peanuts. You really do this by hand?
Someone does.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cotton candy. Mm-hmm. I love cotton
Cracker Jacks.
Candy.
That's just candy with cotton.
It says here Cracker Jacks, candy, but no prizes in the boxes. What does that mean, no prizes in the Cracker Jack boxes? I guess
we take out the prizes and put three more pieces of popcorn in there.
Oh, okay.
And then we give away the prizes from the Cracker Jack at the skee ball downstairs. You can get tickets if you play skee ball.
Really?
Yeah. Hmm.
This is all open 9 to 5? Like, people are coming in here doing
It's open
ball?
24 hours a day.
Really?
Yeah.
See, most museums close it. And that's what's cool about this one, Matt. It's open all the time. I've never – they do things different in Baltimore, Matt.
We were having trouble getting a lot of people down here. So back in April, we had Fuck With Shit Night. And that's
Fuck
where people,
With Shit Night?
Fuck With Shit Night.
At the Babe Ruth Museum.
Yeah, and you can buy a ticket, stay the night. And then we would play ghost music or you know, horrible sounds. Like usually I'd use like an old Creepy. Halloween cassette I had. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you can go grab stuff that Babe Ruth had and wear it. Take a bat.
Wow.
You can take one of his bats and hit a rubber wall, you know. So
that's pretty cool, actually. I would love to. Can I put on his jersey?
Yeah.
May I?
Yeah, we're here. I don't usually let people do it, you know, during the day, but at night you would
normally. Usually you're only on fuck with shit night, Matt.
Fuck
with
shit.
Holy shit. These are knickers, right?
Yeah, put them
on.
There's
like cufflinks, Scott. They used to wear cufflinks. Look at that.
And usually we ask people to wear underwear.
Can I use your bathroom to change?
You know what? I have a pair of the rope bikinis if you want to wear that underneath.
You want to get some raspberries?
I don't really want to wear the rope. I'm just going to wear the Babe Ruth costume.
You can try it on the rope bikini. Just
I'll put it on under the Babe Ruth.
Okay. Look, I don't want to judge you guys, but this is like a really filthy museum. I mean, there's like Doritos everywhere and like old Snapples and like you guys should clean up after yourselves.
Yeah, tell it to the Maryland, you know.
No, I don't know.
Talk to Maryland politicians. Because they cut our funding.
Uh-huh. And the only way we can make
year
money.
Year after year. And I have to make these things. We have a toy for kids here that makes your voice sound like you have throat cancer. This is from Babe Ruth's last years on Earth.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
So this is me, my normal voice, and then here is Drew, the Babe Ruth cancer soundbox.
Okay.
Scott, come in here. They got a whole box of items.
Hold on, I'm trying to listen to cancer. You hear that, Matt? That's the cancer box.
And this game has always been the best thing in my life. This Babe Ruth, I love you. Bye. Bye, Zeef. All right.
Wow, that really changed your voice.
That was his final address.
You
memorized
his last quote.
Oh, you were quoting his final words?
Yeah, 1949 Boston Braves, again, the last team he played on.
Can I try that?
Yeah, here you go.
I wish I was a woman.
That's weird.
That's pretty good, right?
Yeah.
Were you imagining a baseball player when you said that?
No, I was just doing my inner thoughts.
Yeah, that's fun. So it's a cancer voice box modulator.
Today is the greatest day of my life.
Tickles, kinda.
Yeah.
That's weird.
Yeah, so those are some of the toys we have.
Not to talk finance, but some of the stuff helped bolster you up, Dean? It sounds like you have burgers and you have novelties you're selling, but the Maryland State's cutting your budget?
They've been cutting the budget since I moved in. Mm-hmm. And basically, I'm at rock bottom the way my father was at the end of his life when he fell off the cliff.
You were talking about estate planning earlier, how people really need to.
You really make a will if you can now. And don't leave. Don't do. A lot of people do dot, dot, dot. Like
the ellipses?
Yeah.
The ellipses, like someone's going to figure it out. And they don't. That's why you need
you
to
know what?
Figure
no one figures
out
your estate but you. That's basically the bottom line.
Would you recommend LegalZoom.com? Is that enough?
Oh, they're great. They're perfect for something like that.
I wonder why you have LegalZoom.com on all your cups and all your. There's a sticker on the Jack in the Box too, which I don't think you're allowed to do. But
what?
Put LegalZoom on the sticker. Yeah, and sell them like sponsored products.
Maybe we're not allowed, but no one comes down here and tells us anything really. So we just go for it.
You know what? I'll give you $40,000 for this whole place.
I'll suck both your dicks for that.
I don't want my dick sucked. I want to buy your museum.
I'll suck both your dicks right now. Give me $35,000. We'll take it. Boy, we are really not doing well here. Dean certainly can use that $40,000.
You have a published book and
this piece of shit. I published this myself.
I know it's self-published, but it is interesting, and the facts are. There's a lot of baseball diehards. I'm sorry. I'm not in the market for a dick sucking, but this tour so far is worth something. I'm happy to.
I'll give you $40,000 right now. I have a checkbook right here.
Scott, he wants to suck your dick.
No, I don't need to suck his dick. I mean, if he wants me to, I will.
I don't want that. I was interested in your museum.
I was just so excited that someone's going to buy this place and take it off our hands. You know, we've really been struggling here.
As someone who's a big fan of baseball, I hate to see. Like our most legendary player in his museum just falling apart like this. It just makes
me
feel bad.
What is this poem here?
Oh, that's the Oriole? The Oriole.
What is that?
That was really
Hey, turn your music down, man. I like old vinyl and psychedelia, but it's distracting in the Babe Ruth
Museum.
All right.
Well, it's my psychedelia.
Oh, it's your psychedelia?
But it's his vinyl.
Oh, just a little bit. Sorry.
He just he likes the pops and clicks, so he just has a record going.
Oh, you like the static? The,
just static. And then I played some psychedelia. What's on now?
Now is at the end of Dark Side of the Moon.
Oh, cool.
I only like to listen to the end of the
That's kind of weird, listening to Floyd and Babe Ruth's Birthplace. I never thought that would happen. That's pretty trippy.
Well, you know, we've taken this place and just we've probably done too many ideas. If I have to say, if I've made one mistake, is it I have too many ideas.
You're over diversified.
Yeah.
Oh, Matt, look at this. It's a Babe Ruth rookie card. This is like in mint condition. This is worth more than $40,000, I bet. This is something. Wow.
Joe Perry from Aerosmith gave that to us, donated.
Well, why don't
us.
You guys sell it?
Look, it's autographed.
This is the biggest exhibit we have here. This is
rookie
first
card.
Yankees card.
Yeah.
Well, sell this poem called "The Oriole," written by a child. Like, whose child wrote that?
It's not a child. That's Ellen Edgar Poe.
Ellen Edgar Poe.
Yeah. Who is that?
That sounds familiar, but
that's Edgar Allan Poe's sister.
Oh. That's why it sounds familiar.
Really?
Ellen Edgar Poe.
Ellen Edgar Poe, and she wrote a poem called "The Oriole."
The Poes were a very prominent family in the Baltimore area. And they were all artists. This here is a rookie Babe Ruth card.
Mm-hmm. Now, Matt, these are very, very... guys, step back from the card. I mean, this is a mint condition card.
And so, I'm sorry, Dean. Could you turn your music down? Sorry.
All right.
From Baltimore. So this is... Edgar, this is Ellen Edgar, and this is her poem, The Oriole.
I never knew that.
They named the team after this poem?
Yeah, yeah. It was a big, great poem. I mean, and as if you were a kid in that time in Baltimore, everyone knew this poem. Quote the Oriole, nevermore. The final line of that one.
Wow.
So the Oriole's talking. Like, that's what the Oriole's thinking?
Yeah.
As it's running
the bases.
Wow.
A tiny Oriole picks up a bat, hits a grand slam, and this is its thoughts as it's crossing the, going around the bases. Isn't that nice?
This museum's amazing. Baseball historians are known for their hospitality, and Skip and Dean Jr. were no exception. They insisted on giving us a ride back to the airport.
Thanks for the ride. I mean, this is a great trip, Matt. I feel like we learned a lot.
I didn't know you could take side streets all the way to BWI. Thank you for the ride, Skip.
Mm-hmm.
And Dean, thank you for coming along so you could drive back.
I hope you guys liked the tour and also the Segway rides.
It was interesting. Yeah, I've never been on a tour. I didn't expect to meet someone who lived in a museum. And
you probably didn't think that this thing can go 80 miles an hour either.
Is that how fast we're going? It's so smooth. I could barely feel that we're going 80.
Yeah, Dean knows how to check them out.
Holy cow, it's really stable.
Are you allowed to ride a Segway to the airport?
Oh, no.
I guess we'll just be on the sidewalk, I guess, when we get there.
Yeah.
Wow, this is really fast. This is really cool.
This is the future. It feels like I'm riding the future.
Doesn't it? Isn't it nice? And we're here.
Can I ask you a question? Do you mind helping me get the luggage to the Delta Sky Cab?
Yeah, we're Delta.
Sky Cab guy. Do you mind?
I'll grab it, Matt. It's okay.
All right. I just...
Hey, you know what? Probably works better if you ask the guy who works there to do it.
I wasn't being rude. I'm just saying, Scott, you can help me too.
Okay, thanks.
I'm still fucked up from that accident.
No, do you want us to carry you?
No.
Okay.
You don't have to carry me. I just...
Are you okay, man?
I'm a little pissed off.
I'm not feeling good.
What happened, you guys? I mean, we were having a great tour.
He was like, take my bags.
No, I was asking if you could help me. I wasn't saying take my bags.
Why did you bring bags to the airport?
Here.
Well, they're hot dogs.
What do you get?
Bags of hot dogs.
Bags of hot dogs? Well, whose are these?
What does it matter whose hot dogs they are, man? Just have a couple before you get on the plane. What is this? Everything's suspect.
That's so sweet. I don't meet human beings this kind. No. I'm so sorry.
I don't know if they're kind or if they're just like, it seems like they don't know... Like, they're a little detached from reality, Matt.
This is good. I'm going to have a hot dog.
I would be careful.
Homemade sausage?
We took all the clothes out of your bags and replaced it with crabs.
To bring back?
Yes.
Oh, thank you.
Maryland crabs.
That's really sweet for people who don't have a lot of resources, you're really stuck.
I don't know if that's sweet, man. They took my clothes out of my bag and replaced with the crabs. I don't want...
I didn't have anything valuable. I had a couple of UCB Sports and Leisure jerseys. That was it.
Appreciate you listening to another episode of UCB Sports and Leisure. Special thanks to our guests this week, Horatio Sands and Joe Gare. And if you want to reach out to us, find us on Twitter at UCBSL. And as always, props to our wonderful producers, Cody Ziegler and Ben Hosley. Peace.
This has been a UCB Comedy production. Check out our other shows on the UCB Comedy Podcast Network.